just be looking at the idea of being alienated from the knowledge to not even knowing the knowledge which is prioritized, i.e. the master's map. For three, the alienation that takes place in the actual space itself and how that follows through into our own lives, how we come to be lost, how we have no map to go by, no sense of direction. And I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with this quote. This is another famous quote. My name is nobody is what I've called it. But this is from The Invisible Man, Edison. Dr. Edison, The Invisible Man. Where he says, all my life I had been looking for something, and everywhere I turned, somebody tried to tell me what it was. I accepted their answers too, though they were often in contradiction and often even self-contradictory. Why do I bring that up? Because the very academy is often the place we go to when we are lost in itself. We go there thinking that this is going to give us some answers, some type of intellectual nourishment, something whereby we could be elevated either to become part of the elite thinkers or to get an all-elusive job. Harry speaks about it a bit further. Oh, she's having, okay, could you read that one? This is, however, what happens once we find ourselves in the universities.
Okay. The student often finds more meaningful forms of escapism, ideological escapism. Students are for justice, Che Guevara t-shirts and affirmative action, and the socialist organisations are waiting to recruit. The students rent a crowd militant for their latest good cause is an aspect of his real impotence. The student serves the cause, and the cause serves to justify the student's subservience. The student activist consciously aligns their thinking with what they perceive to be that of an oppressed group, which they may or may not be a member of. Now they can speak for that group and articulate the desires of that group, usually phrased as demands made of the authorities. Every person, every group must be represented.
And this also feeds into what Mez was talking about, I think maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. It says no matter what your struggle is, no matter what the injustice is, hey, we've got a studies department that we will make for it. Everything leads you back here, leads you back to us. Meanwhile, our master plan goes on and on and on. And it will take all different names. It will take different shapes. It will even take different people, irrespective, the agenda continues. And that also goes back to the part about the aid, where he's talking about you studying the past. Because we create this department, and you can study all you want about your wonderful, beautiful history, your past, you can even try to live it, that's fine. We'll give you that space, but you will not challenge us. And this is something which was a few of the things that we learned through school, through the university, or even afterwards, once we're in the workforce. So these were adapted from some of the stuff that John Gattle speaks about. I'm going to give you the slides, but the ultimate thing that he makes a point of saying repeatedly is the school must produce habits that are conducive to capital. We could call capital domination, white supremacy, whatever. At the same time, he speaks about these things needed to manufacture consumers and docile workers, i.e. not the half of 1%, not even the 5%, the 96% who will consume the agendas that are directed towards them. And yet, why does this work? Here's why. It's marketed in this brilliant way. This is a cartoon that I've got quite a few issues with. But the whole thing, we might have seen it, it's all like the Horatio stories. If I just study my books, then eventually all them people who shun me, I'll get them because I'll be on top of the world. And I'll be a CEO. So you've gone from degradation to being a CEO of a corporation. That's what we should aspire to. Not thinking about the implications or the impact that these things have. But just being CEO, being the top man, being the black white guy, or the black Anglo-Saxons, as they used to say. And so where do we go when we want to sort of fulfill this dream? We go to Whitetopia. The Grand Horse. And try and fit in with them. And afterwards, once we pass our exams and the like, then we get to this position, where we are the elephant, or better yet, the monkey in the room. Well, that's actually a picture, the one on the bottom right hand corner, by a South African artist. He does a lot like that. Can't remember the name.
What is the
name? It says, I see by your resume that you are a black woman.
I see what?
I see by your resume that you are a black woman.
I've seen his stuff, it's really good. So if I find the name, I'll share it.
Okay, so one of the biggest things that drives us through University Academy as well is, rather than challenging the space itself, rather than challenging the narrative, is this idea to go out and do the whole, you know, bad boy Biggie thing, get money. Now, what's interesting about this is because Jules Simmel, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name, he was, I don't think he was a teacher, but he was a contemporary of the Bars. He spoke about money in a way in which he challenged also the dominant economic system, saying that what money did is it took away your own inherent value and it replaced it with the universal or dominant values. Again, we've seen that theme before. This part about adornment at the bottom, that's interesting enough, Amos Wilson quoting him. And what he's saying there to capture that is, what do we do with the money? Well, we buy the clothes, house, car, all the stuff that we're told we should have in order to be useful, effective people. But why it goes into adornment is, he speaks about the impact this has on the individual. Adornment, he says, appeals to someone who has little sense of self. I.e., it works once your own identity has been obliterated. Once you no longer know who you are, then you will come to define yourselves by both money and with that, your possessions. So that was Jules Simmel. He's writing this, however, in 1903. Think about how immediate this is, how pertinent this is in this age, where everything is the Jerry Maguire age of gotta get the money. And this is a bit of contrast, because you know everyone talk about getting the Jordans, but there's the shoes whites wear and where they live. That's where you live with the Jordans. Now then, what does this paper chase, what does this do? What does this take us away from? It takes us away from fundamentally questions of the self. These are questions that were posed again 1919 by Luigi Pirandello. And again, whilst we're saying this to Luigi Pirandello, these are questions we might otherwise ask. These are questions that children might ask about. You might have these discussions when we were younger, when we were trying to understand our place in the world. Pirandello talked about madness, identity, communication, and knowing oneself. That's a my piece, Amos Wilson, Shoot Through. Okay, in this piece, this piece by Amos Wilson. Amos Wilson is talking about the impact that the schooling or university structure has on us, saying by giving us this degraded version of ourselves, it almost motivates us to want to forget, to want to escape, to want to flee, to want to instead identify with our possessions, to want to identify with adornment. And he sums it up by saying that when we believe the lies that are promulgated, then we internalize the very structures themselves, and we come to believe the positions of the white supremacists, even acting in ways that serve them and forward their system. Now I'm going to give you another short clip about what happens when we believe the lies, and then continue after that.